Amen. All right, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. We are continuing tonight our study on the home. We've been going through here trying to look at the Word of God and looking at the pattern for the home. And the name of the whole series that we've been doing, and we've been doing this for a couple years now. And I want to remind the ladies tonight, I know whenever you have a small crowd, especially on a Wednesday night, it seems like it gets real personal. But everything that I'm teaching, it goes out on our website, and believe it or not, what I teach on Wednesday nights, I get more downloads on it than we do any other thing. And specifically, I'm talking about the wives. I don't know why, but it gets more downloads, and I get emails from families thanking us for doing this. So we're ministering to more than just those that are in here tonight. But I want to remind the ladies tonight as we go through here that I already covered the men in great detail. And I realize maybe not all the men in here might have heard those things. Most of them are online. But as I go through here, I'm not against women. Amen. And so I got to give that reminder. So, all right, Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. We're going to deal with the subject tonight. We've already dealt when it comes to the pattern for wives. We looked at the pattern for husbands for quite a long time. And now we're on the pattern for wives. And we looked at the study of a wife is supposed to submit to her husband. And we looked at the fact she's supposed to submit in everything and submit even when she thinks he's wrong. And we looked at some of those things. And it's not always easy to do, but God will honor you for doing it. Well, the thing I want to look at tonight, and I'm praying to get through most of it. I'm sure I won't finish it. We'll probably finish it up next Wednesday, Lord willing. But the second thing I want to look at is the wife is to accept her husband. Is to accept her husband. All right, and these are biblical principles that we're looking at. And we've already read a lot of verses that already covered some of these things, but these are biblical principles that God would have for the home. God has an order and a design for the home. And where we messed up, where we messed up all the way back in the beginning was when the home got out of order. When the home got out of order is when we messed up. You say, where was that? It was all the way back with Adam and Eve is when the home got out of order. It started there. There's a lot of things that took place there, and we've looked at a lot of that, and I'm not going to go back over it tonight. But all through the Bible and all through time, the home has been under attack from Satan himself. He did it back there in the garden. He's still doing it today. And there's two things that the devil wants to attack when it comes to the home. He wants to attack the order of the home, and he wants to attack the identity of those in the home. He's trying to do this thing of role reversal. He wants the women to be like the men and the men to be like the women. And if he can get a home to do that, then they're raising effeminate boys and they're raising girls who don't respect their fathers and don't respect men. And the whole thing just gets all out of joint. And the devil's just happy as can be when that happens. And so we need to get back to biblical order in the home. And I've said this many times. The biblical order in the home, and we've looked at all the verses. Number one is Jesus Christ. I know men like to say, well, men, we're the head of the home. And we are in a way. But Jesus Christ ought to be the head of your home. I mean, it ought to be Him. He ought to be number one in the home. He ought to be the one that gets consulted on every decision. He's not just a guest in your home. He ought to be a permanent resident of your home. And he ought to be the head of the home. And then after that, we find the husband. And after that, we find the wife. Under that, the children. Under the children, I think everybody needs to have authority under them or somebody they can boss around. So they need a dog. And the dog needs a cat. And the cat needs a goldfish. And it don't get no lower than a goldfish. And so everybody needs somebody that they can help keep in line. Amen. And our kids love trying to keep our dog in line. Sometimes he's the one that runs them, but you know that's like the average home, I guess. So tonight we're going to look at the wife is to accept her husband. And I ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Some of these verses that we covered are not necessarily directed toward the home, but the principle of the verse and it can be applied in all aspects of the Christian life. And when we're talking about the home, they apply the same way. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, the Bible said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, everybody has a role in the home, and you have a purpose. God's got something He wants you to do in the home. And we've talked about this in great length. Just because that's your role in the home, whether it's a husband or wife or children, doesn't mean it's any less than any other person. It doesn't mean you're less of a person. Amen? I mean, because Jesus Christ ought to be the head of my home. He doesn't treat me as any less of a person. And we ought not to do the same thing with our wife. She's no less of a person, but she does have a place in the home. And so, if you're called according to God's purpose, and you love God, He promises right here that all things work together for good. And you say, why are you using that as a launching point for this? Because what I want to talk about tonight is the wife is to accept her husband. A godly wife must accept her husband as he is. As he is. God does not call wives to be husband reformers. Amen? Y'all help me tonight. It'll go a little smoother. He has his faults. I put down probably has his faults, but I can mark probably out. He has his faults, and sometimes he can be a real pain. Well, sometimes he can be a real pain. But she has to learn to accept him as he is if she wants God to mold him. There's a lot of times that wives won't accept their husbands for who they are, and they try so hard to reform him that God can't do anything with them. Because she's interfering in what God needs to do in his life. I mean, how's he supposed to listen to God if she's always there? Amen? And so, she has to trust God. And that goes back to this verse. All things work together for them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. As a wife, you have a purpose to be a helpmeet to your husband. And if you love God and you do your best to accept Him and to be a helpmeet, then God can work on those other things. And we talked about men in great length and some of their responsibilities. But it'll work out for the wife's good. If God deals with your husband, it'll work out better for you than if you ever do anything. I mean, it'll work out a whole lot better if God's the one that fixes it versus us fixing it. And that goes the same way when in anybody's life. If you try to fix it, it'll be much better if God fixes it. Amen. I've seen Him do that time and time again here at church and in my life and my family. It's always better when God fixes it. If I try to fix something or try to put something together, there's always parts left over and it doesn't work right. If God does it, it's right. For God's way is perfect. So, a wife can learn to accept her husband by realizing that Jesus Christ accepted her how she was. Amen? I mean, God accepted us just the way we were, right? I mean, He didn't try to tell us we had to straighten up and we had to do better before He would accept us. The Bible said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." When God found me, I was a sinner. Amen. And I'm thankful for it. And so you can look at it in that aspect that you can learn to accept your husband by realizing that Christ accepted you the way you were while we were just yet sinners. And we are not, as a child of God, we're not on probation with God. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, does anybody in here have a flaw or a fault? Amen. Well, a couple of us do. I'll preach to these people over here. These folks over here have halos on, so I'm going to stay over here. Amen, where the sinners are. And so, but we have those, but because of those faults, I understand that preaching and God's Word helps us with those things over and over again, but God doesn't divorce us or walk away from us because of our faults. I'm thankful for it, aren't you? I mean, I'm thankful that doesn't happen. And so we can't lose our salvation with Him. There's couples that they get married and they start off with courting or dating. They ought to court. I believe in courting, not dating. But they start off by courting or dating. And they start off by overlooking each other's faults. And they look over each other's little quirks because they're so in love. Amen? And they just look straight over those things. Amen. One of your friends will be like, "Hey, have you noticed that he's got this little weird quirk? Oh, I'm just so in love with him." Amen. And they look over those things, but later they use that fault against them. Amen? Later they use that little quirk and they use that little fault that they overlooked the whole time they were dating and courting. And now that's used against him. What happened? She overlooked those things and now they get married and she wants to change him. She wants to remold and make him exactly what she wants. Amen? And you know what that's recipe for? Problems in the marriage. I mean, how many times have I been sitting in the office and I passed, this is my second church I pastored, and not only that, I was in another church where I was in a role of leadership and I did some counseling, and they would both sit down together and make the statement about something about their marriage isn't going right, and he would look right at her and goes, I was like this before we got married. I've heard that before. Yeah. Oh, I know. I know you were. Okay, well, why are you using that against him now? Amen? Yeah. And you said, what are you getting at in this whole thing? The whole thing is you got to let God fix that if it's a problem. Amen? Got to let God fix it. You know, I'm thankful that God gives us chances. Amen. And he lets us come talk to him even when we got our faults and failures. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 real quick. Let's look at a couple verses here. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And all I'm trying to do on these Wednesday night studies is give you good Bible principles, Bible instructions, and good common sense things to help a home and help a marriage. And realize that there's more than one person living in your home. It's not all about you. It's not all about the husband. It's not all about the wife. You have a family unit. Amen. And everybody's got their part to play. And again, I went over a lot of the husband stuff. And if I need to, I'll go back over some of that if it'll make the ladies feel better. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. All right. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity, we talk about charity, and I guess one of the definitions for that is love in action. It's showing somebody that you love them. It's not just saying, I love you. And it says charity covered a multitude of sins. And that could be applied to somebody before they get married, and man, they're just so in love that they don't care what that guy does. And they might first get married, and the fact that he leaves his underwear laying in the middle of the floor just really don't bother her. She's just thrilled to death to pick it up and, you know, put it in the hamper. Well, then a year goes by. Amen? I hear some people shaking their head this way, some this way, some this way, some this way. Amen? And all of a sudden, the things that weren't a big deal because we're just so in love and, oh, it's okay, are now the things that are used against him. And it causes problems. It causes headaches. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Amen. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ loved me enough, and that he still loves me enough to let me get that thing right with him. Amen. And I'm thankful to that. So when a bride-to-be is courted or dated or whatever the case is, she overlooks his fault because she loves her. But once she marries him, she refuses to overlook those faults and uses those things against him. And I'm telling you, ladies, that's a recipe for disaster for a marriage. Amen? One of the principles is you need to accept your husband as he is. You cannot remold him. I know there's some women that think they can, and if that husband finally just cowers down and submits to his wife and said, like I did Sunday, you know, Sunday, I said, when we talk to the Lord, we bow our heads sometimes and pray going to him. But I said, sometimes husbands do that to their wives. They go looking at their shoes when they ask her a question or something. But that's not God's order for the home, and he's not pleased with that. So I want to give you a couple things tonight, a couple steps that will help you discover some good qualities about your husband. Now listen, this is all a part of the study that I'm doing, and again, there's people that listen online, and there's folks in our church that probably do need to hear it, and I don't know who needs it here tonight, but there's some marriages and some women, I've met them, I've counseled with them, I've talked to them in other churches and heard about things where, man, that whole marriage is a wreck because she will not accept him as he is. And so one of the ways that will help you with that is if you can discover some of his good qualities. And you know, you might say, well, you don't know my husband. He's sorry. There is no good qualities in my husband. Well, you married him. For one. But there might be. Amen. There might be. So here's a couple things to help you try to discover some good qualities in your husband, even if it appears that he has none. All right? Try this. And if you try and it doesn't work, then you just keep trusting God and pray for him. Amen, because you married him. All right? Number one, a wife should watch her husband and praise him. Amen. We're talking about finding some qualities in a husband and finding some things, even if you don't think he has any, and all you see is his faults. All you see is every time he does something wrong. And you let him know every time he does something wrong. I mean, if he gets out of the bed and he makes the bed, but the sheet wasn't put on just right, or I'm going over all the things I get in trouble for. I'm just joking. Or don't take the cup and put it back on the counter where it goes, or take the shoes off and kick them off in the middle of the floor. I keep going on and on and on and on. We've got our faults. Amen. We definitely have our faults. But if you want to try to find some good qualities, just watch your husband and praise him. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about just watch, just take a step back and just watch what he does. Instead of constantly bringing up the faults, try to watch him and praise him when he does well. Praise him if he does something right. Amen. We're talking about trying to find the good qualities, trying to have a good home. Praise him and watch him and praise him when he does something right. Watch him, praise him and watch him when he does something well. Most men like to have their wife tell them, thank you, that was very good. Amen. They like that. So you just take a step back and look. And I'm telling you, you might start to be thankful for some of the things that you complain about. Amen. You say, well, I complain about this. I mean, he's got all these problems. Like, he's a messy man or whatever. I don't know what it is. Whatever your fault is, there's a whole list of them. Well, if you start really thinking about maybe some of the good things he does and the fact that you're sitting in church with him tonight, some of those things, you might look back and say, well, you know what? I really don't have it as bad as I thought I did. I used to hear it said all the time, if you're ungrateful for your husband because he might be a little bit lazy, or he might, you know, not smell good all the time, or whatever the case is, why don't you go live with a drunk for about 2 weeks? Amen. And you probably come right back and say, I'll keep picking up your shoes. Amen. You know, I'll move the glass from the end table to the, you know, it's 5 foot away, but I'll move it. But you might say, I don't mind doing that because he's going to work every day. He's paying the bills. When there's some wives you could talk to tonight that when their husband got off work, they didn't see him till about 12 o'clock that night, and he didn't come home with no money because he drank it all. Amen. There's a lot to be thankful for. There's a whole lot to be thankful for. So watch him. Praise him when he does right. And I'm trying to help you with your attitude towards him. You start doing these things and you'll start changing your opinion towards him. When he stands up for his convictions, when he makes statements like, I think this is what I'm going to do. This is why I'm going to do it. Support him. Amen. Say, all right, well, that's good. I mean, you're making a decision. There's some wives tonight that wish their husbands would just make a decision. Amen. They just wish they'd make a decision about something. I'm not talking about going to eat. Where are we eating today? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? That's the ongoing. I mean, it don't matter how long you've been married. That happens. I see it here every week. You know, man, where are we eating? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Somebody make a decision. But there's some husbands that won't make a decision on anything. Paying bills or doing anything. And I'm not getting back on the husbands again. Be supportive of your husband. Amen. Amen. Start encouraging him when he does make those decisions. Maybe he'll be more confident in making them. The problem in some situations is every time he makes one, he gets nagged about it and gets ran down the road about the decision because she don't like it. Well, guess what? He's not. He's going to stop telling you what he's thinking about. And then you want to know why he's not talking to you. Amen. It's a vicious spiral. And so what kind of support do you give him when he does try to make decisions? You ought to watch him and praise him. A wife should never praise her husband in order to manipulate him. Amen. Don't use that against him. Don't use praise against him. Don't, you know, We got all adults in here, but, you know, don't ever use sexual things against him. That's not good for the marriage. That's not good. The only time you praise him or the only time that you offer those things to him is if you want something. That is not good for your home and good for your marriage. If that's the only time he ever hears praise from you is when you're manipulating or you want something or you're trying to get something out of him, then it's not healthy for your marriage. You ought to do it even when you don't expect anything in return, just because you're trying to be an encouragement and a helpmeet to him, which is exactly what God wants you to be, a helpmeet. Look at Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. I know this stuff tonight is just real simple, but it's just good, simple instruction for the home. Proverbs chapter 26, and look at verse number 28. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh what? Ruin. If you use those things to try to manipulate or to get your way on something, it's going to work ruin in your marriage. That's not a good thing. All right, number two, a wife should listen to her husband. Now, this is one thing we covered in great detail with the men about listening to their wives. Amen? So we covered that part, wife, about him listening. All right? But a wife should listen to her husband. We're talking about trying to find some good qualities. Sit down and listen to him. Most wives enjoy to talk, especially if they're with children all day. The husband works off, are they alone or with children all day? When he gets home, they want to talk. Amen. And we talked about the men at one time saying, hey, she's been home alone with the kids all day or she's been by herself. Listen to her. You know, you're the first adult she's talked to all day long. All right, unless she's been on Facebook or the phone all day and neglecting her housework. But the wife, if she wants to get to know her husband, then she ought to listen to him. Just develop that art of listening. Listen to things about him. Listen to how he feels about other people. Listen how he feels about what's going on at work. Get to know him and listen to those things. All right? And this will help to try to discover some of those good qualities about him. If a wife knows her husband, she's going to be a better wife. Amen? And you get to know somebody by listening to him, by spending time with them. But if you're constantly running the mouth, amen, then you can't listen. Every now and again, you got to take a step back and just let him talk about whatever he would. There's so many times I've talked to couples before and they said, man, I wish my husband would just talk to me. Amen. I mean, I've seen that in marriages before and I just wish he would just talk to me. And the problem is he can't get a word in. And most men, I mean, they're just going to shut down. I'm not going to talk, you know, I'm not going to start sharing all my feelings with my wife, especially if she's going to use those against me and if she's not going to listen to me. So if she wants to become a helpmate, she needs to listen. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2:11 that the wives were to learn in silence with all subjection. And, you know, your husband might be one of the dumbest guys around and not have a lot of wisdom, but if you'll just listen to him, you can still learn some things about him. Amen. All right, number three, a wife should develop an interest in things her husband likes. Amen. Well, here we go. So, I'm going to take a drink on that one there. A wife should develop an interest in things her husband likes. He is not her helpmeet. She is his helpmeet. Amen. So if there's things he likes, amen, you ought to show some interest in those things. Now, do not take so much interest in it that you get better than him at that. This is his hobby and his interest and what he likes. He doesn't want to share that with you so that you can be better than him at that. And you might be. Amen. But just take a step back and just listen to him. I mean, so many wives wish their husbands would just talk to them, would spend time with them. Well, you want that? Find out what he enjoys doing, his hobbies, and try to take a little bit of interest in it. And the next thing you know, when something changes in that hobby or that sport or whatever it is, then he'll come home, and instead of being on the phone with his buddies or looking up stuff on his own, he'll share it with you. Hey, did you hear about this? And you might not care anything about it. No, I did not hear about that. Would you tell me about it? But guess what? You and your husband are bonding. He's talking to you. Amen? But if you don't care about anything he cares about and have no interest in it, and you don't have any interest in getting to know him, and then you want and then get upset because maybe he has friends that he talks to about or just these things that he enjoys. Most men have something, some kind of hobby or something that's a release for them. I mean, there's some guys that's hunting. It's being out at 2 o'clock in the morning, freezing to death in a deer stand. That's not me. My hunting is sitting in a recliner watching college football, and if a deer comes by, roll up, lift the window up. And you're laughing. That's how I kill two of my deer. But that's my idea of hunting. But I like fishing. I don't ever get to do it, but I like being out on the water going fishing. I like shooting basketball, even just by myself, getting out there just shooting. And I enjoy being outside. There's things that men like to do that sometimes is just like a, you know, like a release. And, you know, some of those things like hunting, you know, you might not want your wife there. I don't know. If you do, just be quiet. Amen. Yes, the doe urine stinks. We don't need to hear about it the whole time. Amen. But just try to develop an interest in things that he likes. And next thing you know, he'll come home from work or he'll come home from what he's doing and he'll want to talk to you about it. Amen. I don't know what godly wife, not, let me say godly wife, who loves her husband wouldn't be happy to see him happy and be interested in talking to him about things that he's interested in. Amen. And I'm going to tell you that there's somebody out there somewhere that would be glad to listen to him. Right, wrong, or indifferent. There's somebody that would be willing to listen to him. Amen. And it ought to be you. It ought to be an exciting thing for him to be able to talk to you about those things. And like I said, it's not wise for you to try to learn more about that thing than he does. Amen. Don't try to be better than him at that. You know, let him have that. But God designed a man to lead his home. And so that's one reason you don't need to be better. Just let him lead. Amen. If you catch more fish than he does, toss it back. Well, he's not looking. Now, keep him coming in. Amen. If the wife will listen to her husband, the chances are that she just might come to enjoy some of the same things he does. Have you ever seen she said no. He said amen, and she said no. I've seen older couples been married for 50 or 60 years, and they're inseparable, and they love and enjoy the same things. Amen. And it might have been something she enjoyed, and it might have been something he enjoyed, and just they just got to know each other. And I've already talked to the husbands about this similar thing. There's things that wives like and they like to talk about that I could care less about. But for me to be a husband, because I care about her, I want to know about it and I want to listen to it and I want to understand what's going on. And the wives need to do the same things toward their husband. And you just might find out that you like them. Amen. Your husband. Amen. Oh, your husband, yeah. Marriages today are in trouble. They're in trouble. And how many times have you seen marriages that the kids are grown and they're gone and they look at each other and say, I don't know you. This isn't the man I married. This isn't the woman I married. Amen? And they don't know each other. But they haven't taken time to get to know each other. She hasn't listened to little... I mean, just listen. Just pay attention to things as he does, or as he talks to people, or as he comes home and talks about work and talks about different things. Just listen and just get to know him. And then if you do that, then you can be a help meet to him. There's things that you can do that he hadn't even thought about where you can try to be an encouragement and a help to him. Amen? And a husband, he likes to know that his wife is supportive and behind him. There are men that dread going home. They dread it. They dread the thought of going home. And sometimes they'll use work or they'll use hobbies or whatever they can to keep from having to go into that house, because as soon as they walk in the door, all they're going to hear about is all their faults. They don't do this right, and they don't do that right, and they don't do this right, and that's all they hear about every time they're at home. That is no way to have a marriage. And we've all got our faults. Amen. And in most situations, he can't, say what he thinks her faults are. That just really ends up bad. So it's just easier for him to ignore it and not talk to her. And now you got a marriage. And if that goes on for months and years, now you have a couple that doesn't even know each other. And they don't care to know each other. Amen. And it causes problems. And, there are things that if you would praise him and if you would listen to him and if you would call him Lord, I'm just joking for her. But if you would do those things, he just might surprise you. Amen. He just might surprise you in a couple of those faults that always aggravates you. Because by this time, he probably knows what they are. We're going to try to help that going forward. He probably knows what they are. But he just might, if he sees that you're taking interest in him and what he likes, and that you're listening to him and you care about him, you're thankful that he got up and went to work. You're thankful that he came home and provided. I mean, there's days that he comes home from work and there's something. He left problems at work all day long and he's got to come home and fix another problem. Whether it's something happened in the house or a kid's out of control or whatever. I mean, he's got to come home. And if there's just a little bit of gratitude towards that, then he'll appreciate providing for you. And he just might, some of those faults, he might actually take an effort to not do what aggravates you. Amen? No guarantees. But he just might. Because it's so much easier for a husband to say, you know what, I'm going to try to make sure I put the toilet seat down. Because I know that bothers her. Amen? I'm going to make sure I try to, whatever it is. Everybody's got their things. I know I'm listing some of mine tonight. But I'm going to make sure I do that. Why? Because I know that she tells me she appreciates me. She loves me. I mean, Sarah does a great... When I get home from work, the kids, like, they throng me in the driveway. I mean, they're climbing up me. Emma, she can go from up here fast. And they're hugging me. Daddy, Daddy, we love you. We love you. Thank you for going to work. I mean, and I know she does that at home. She builds it up. She builds up the fact that I'm coming home. And they're so excited for it. You know what? I love going home. I've been having to travel for work and stuff, and I had to go out of town this week. I was supposed to be gone to today. I was supposed to get back in time for church, but I tried to finish up what I had to, and I came home yesterday because I love coming home. And she's a big reason for that. But there's a lot of husbands that dread going home. And they'll leave that seat up, and they'll leave the shoes on the floor, and they'll leave the socks and underwear laying in the bathroom floor. They'll leave the cup on the nightstand. They'll do all those things, and they don't care about making an effort to fix it because all they ever hear is about how wrong he is, about his faults. Amen? And I can just see them with the cup just rolling their eyes every time she says something because it's constant and all the time. You're saying, is he right for doing those things? No. But you're not fixing it the way you're doing it. If you're doing it that way. Amen? All right. I hope this was a blessing tonight. I got some more to go over. I got some things to share that if you do those things, that how God will reward you. Amen? All right. Let's all stand.